She's saying a tenet, a principle, belief, or doctrine contrary to it to receive help. And it also says it's something involving an inherent contradiction. Contradiction. I looked that word up. It means a settled habit that is hard to shake. And as I read that, I looked up the word intrinsic. It means originating or situated within the body or something to act upon. I want to preach on just a little bit this morning on the paradox. That come to me so strong, I thought, what in the world does that mean? I didn't know intrinsic was in the Bible. I've read many, many books over the years, many books. My shelf is covered with books. And I even got them in my closet, or did have. I got them out in my building. And I've given my son close to 100 books. And I've been reading a book lately, a very good book that Brother Ronnie Faulkner's wanting to get a hold of from me. It tells how to be a true leader. It tells how you as Christians can live in such a way that people can have confidence in you. But a person that is a paradox is someone that is contrary, receive help, a self-contradictory statement that at first seems to be true. And I got to thinking about that since last year when different ones of you were scared you're going to lose your job. And I got to thinking about that. I remember when I was trying to get a job. I remember when I started with solders and electrical, and then I went to Wayne Electrical. I was doing industrial electrical work. And each time after 6-7 months, it'd go down to nothing. I got tired of that. And so I went in business for myself and as a mechanical contractor, and things was going real good. Then all of a sudden, things, not only did my health break from that mold that was in the house, I didn't know was even there, but the work stopped. And when I would set my recliner throughout the day, and when I'd pray, I'd say, God, I thank you when I first come to Georgia in 83, how that you blessed me with work. I said, then when my work got slack because of Walter Mondale and Mr. Reagan, President Walter Mondale was running against him, I felt like I needed Brother Salters called, asked me to come toward Nicholson in Nicholson area to help him in music and playing music and my wife singing for the church. And so I went down there. When I got down there, they was having a church group business meeting, several people there packed out just about. And I sat down to eat, first time I was in their dining hall, and right across the table from me was a good man, Christian man, and his son-in-law had a huge construction company there in Conyers, Georgia, and just everything just worked out. Then when that was starting to play out a little bit, and Brother Sawyer's got Brother Harvey Swims and told him, I'd like for Steve to get a job. We're going to have a team drive into Atlanta. And before you know it, the job opened up for me there in the USDA at Russell Research for about 15 years. And so everything, and I kept saying, God, I thank you. I know it don't seem like it's doing no good, but I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank for how you have done it. And I said, I don't know how you're going to do it now, but I said, I know you've done it times past. And that's how I didn't know this job I'm on now even existed. I got a phone call. It told me to go over if I was interested in that job. And so you see, I don't want to be what you call a frustrated person. Frustrated is to induce feelings of discontentment, to make ineffectual, to bring to nothing, to make invalid feelings, to have insecurity, to come between a person or your goal. I don't want nothing to come between my goal. I don't want nothing to come between me and God. I don't want to become effectual and have the feelings where that God's not hearing me, it's not going to work, that I'm stuck in this situation, that I'm never going to get out, because that's going to lead you into being a paradox person. And I don't want nothing like that. My desire, neighbors, try to reach out and be what God wants me to be. That's my desire. remember one time I was in Seabury, Kentucky, and I was visiting that church, and somebody was playing this other man's guitar. I let him play it. When he did, he gave me the guitar. I said, "Steve, Brother Steve, this thing's out of tune." And before I had an eardrum busted from sinus condition, I was very keen to the stuff like that. And so as I played the guitar, I looked back at the young fella back there. I said, "Brother," I said, "here's your guitar. It's out of tune." He said, "Well, that's exactly the way I tune it." Well, just because you think that's the way it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be on a 440 scale. Ain't that right, brother? And then, you know, sometimes a piano can be higher or lower, but you still need to be in tune with the piano, and it makes a difference how you tune it. And God got to dealing with me about that. You know, he got to dealing with me about the time that Israel was out there, and they're trying, Moses trying to get up to the promised land, Canaan. And they got to the place that they said, "We're hungry." They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Sometimes our goal is set on habits. Sometimes it's set on one certain way. You go through a trial. You go through a test. You go through a temptation. God, if you don't work this out, God knows all kinds of ways to work it out. But everything is built on trust. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are the substance I'm hoping for? That's my substance. That's what I believe in. It's the substance of things hoped for. That's why I tell you, when you got a need, search the scriptures out. You'll find the answer to your problems right in this good word of God. This ain't just any book. This book is said in spirit and life. This Bible will build your faith. This Bible will strengthen you. Somebody, people not interested in this Bible. It brings them under condemnation. But I'm here to tell you every Sunday, thank God if I'm able. When I say, who's read the Bible every day? I read it early in the morning. Thank God I read it at night. I don't go through a day. Sometimes I go to work early. Sometimes I forget it. And when I'm going down the road, Brother Douglas McDaniel, I'm quoting scriptures to myself because I know that's my vitamins. I don't know what's facing me that day, but I know if I'm going to do my part with God, God's going to do his part with me. And if he was so concerned about Adam walking in the cool of the day and talking to Adam, God's going to be concerned about me, helping me through the day, walking with me, being with me, and blessing me. I'm glad there's a true Holy Ghost. I'm glad there's a true life you can live. Huh? I'm glad there's a true way of living. Thank God I'm so glad for Jesus. Glad for the truth of this Bible. Thank God. I wrote several things that come to me. Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." How you think, how you talk, is how victorious you are. If you talk negative, you believe negative, you're going to be a negative person. Amen. You're going to be a pessimistic person. But if you could just quote what the Bible says, believe what the scripture says. Amen. Remember me telling that true story about over in England, I believe it was, where a man had a Christian college, and it turned out to be that they had an opportunity to either pay for it, buy it, or it's going to have to move out there selling it. And so they went to the man in charge, and they told him, he went to praying. Next day, they said, "Well, we're going on a fast." He said, "No, I'm not fasting." "Well, why aren't you fasting?" He said, "Because I already asked God, and I believe God's going to do it. I don't feel like I have to fast this time because I felt a connection between me and God." Well, time went on, and it got the week before the payment was due, if they was going to stay. And they said, "Brother, has it come in yet?" Said, "No, it ain't come in." Said, "We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to do something. Get hold of God." He said, "I've already prayed, and I felt a connection." Amen. It come down, neighbor, to the day that it was supposed to have been due. And when they sat down to eat that morning meal with them, they said, "Have you got it yet?" He said, "No,
But it's due. You know, it's 11 o'clock this morning. We got to have her going to leave. He said, I felt a connection. And thank God when the mail started running that morning, it come by that their brother's home or office. And when he opened it up, someone I don't think he even knew had wrote him a check enough to pay the thing completely off. Neighbor, when you feel a connection, I don't care what comes your way. When you feel you got touch with God. Amen. Yeah, I'm a Holy Ghost filled preacher. And thank God I still believe in the tongues of the Holy Ghost. I still believe in a sanctified living life. I'm glad this is real, neighbor.
I like to think things that'll help me. Amen. Bible said in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. People like that to use that for church. I guess you could use it for church service, but that's not what it's referring to. Amen. It's talking about the life you live, that you're being led by God and God directing you in your daily life. And what in church is not what makes you. It's what you're out of church that what makes you. Amen. The people where I work at is 72-part. Apartment complex. Believe it or not, I'm the only maintenance man there. I really need about two there with me. One or two more, but they just won't do it. Hey, man, but the young children learn I'm a preacher. A bunch of them do. They have learned, different ones know I'm a Christian. Hey, man, the police officer that patrols and lives there, he's found out I'm a Christian. Hey, man, I remember one time I was working at the USDA, and I was walking by, and there was a man by the name of Hugh Johnson. And he said, Steve, he said, you know what's going on around here? I said, what's going on around here, Mr. Johnson? He said, I hear there's a preacher down there with you that claims to be a Christian. I said, is that right, you? He said, yeah. I said, oh, how about that? Amen. And when the main man, I forget his name, he's the main man over the USDA in that area, traveling back and forth to Washington, D.C. Amen. I had my radio on, my tape on, and I had just steel guitar playing. And it was playing Christian music with backup music. And it was going on, and he stepped in by the shop, listened, talked it to me. And when he did, he got to looking around. He heard something in there. And one of the main men that retired that was a tough-acted guy, you know, and nobody hardly liked him, but he had a high position. You couldn't do nothing with him. But thank God, when he was fixing to leave retire that day, you know, one of the people he come to see, he come to see me. Thank God. And you know what? I'm glad for this. I got my son on. Remember me tell you, I got my son in over there as a plumber in HVAC, heat and air, refrigeration. And Stevie said, Daddy, and I had my halls are probably about 8 foot wide. And, you know, and every probably 30 foot's of office. It's a 9-story building real long. And hey, man, and Stevie said, Daddy, guess what happened to me? He said, what happened, Stevie? He said, Daddy, I was just walking down the hall minding my business. All of a sudden, the power of God come upon me. I was lifting my hands, walking down that hall, lifting my hands and praising God as I went down. I'm glad this is real, and it's something you can feel. That's why the Bible says a man thinketh, so is he. Neighbor, it don't make no difference if you get like Job and you look forward and back and right and left and you can't feel him and look like you ain't doing no good. Job said he knows the way that I take, and he knows that after I come through this thing, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. Neighbor, that's right. When you get a confidence and you get that faith, that substance to believe God, you don't have to be a paradox person. You don't have to live in frustration. Neighbor, but you can live victorious. Bible said, what's it, Hebrews 11:6? Amen. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God first must believe he is, that he's real, he's alive, and he's forevermore. He must believe that he is, and that's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, you believe he's going to do something about it. You believe he's going to do something about it. You believe something's going to happen. You believe God's going to work something out one way or another. That's the kind of God, thank God, that I'm serving. I didn't know my son where he pastors, you know, had a situation where God wanted him to put 6 or 7, 8 chairs out front. I didn't even know nothing about it. He'd tell me to afterwards, told his mother maybe it was. He felt like, you know, just getting people to come up there and sit in the chair and pray for him. And those of you know Steve, you know God sends him places, and and hardly ever fails. He lays hands on people. People get healed. One lady was fixing to have a hysterectomy the following week, and God sent him over there. And he told him, said, I feel like I need to pray for that sister. Laid hands on her. Power of God, come on that sister. And all she said, yeah, what was she saying? I can. And Brother Tommy Gushy said, Mary, what do you mean you can? Hey, man, went and found out that the blood had stopped. God had healed her. Never had to have that surgery. And I didn't know it, but a brother from Villarica, Georgia, had called him from, I think, Ohio, and encouraged him to do what God wanted to do. I had no idea about it. And directly my mind went to the scripture of Gideon, or not Gideon, maybe it was. I think it might be, but out of my mind, you know how it works with this mode. My memory's not good like it used to be. But the angel said, thou God are with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I didn't know Stevie was trying to weigh it out in his mind. I didn't know what the devil was battling him with, obeying God. And I called him up. I said, Stevie. He said, yes, Daddy. He said, he's 35 years old now. And I said, I feel like giving you a scripture. Amen. And I said, it's found so-and-so. I said, the scripture says, God is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He said, Daddy, later when you've done that, and encouraged me, and another brother encouraged me, I went straight and done what I felt like God wanted me to do. He said, the power of God come down, people's being healed and delivered because he done what he felt like doing. But a paradox person don't do something like that. A paradox person is to become effectual. It means to bring to nothing, to make valid feelings, deep insecurity, become a person, aim or go, to come between a person. Neighbor, you ought to feel security today. You need to feel like you're effectual today. You know, when you come in them doors, you ought to realize this ain't just a place to put bubble gum underneath the church pews. It's not such a place to litter with candy. I don't even drop paper on the church lawn. When I end up taking a mint or something, you know, peppermint, I usually put it in my pocket or put it in my car or my truck. I do not drop it on this ground. I feel like this is a holy place. I feel like this belongs to God, and I feel like a place needs to be reverenced. I know the kingdom of heaven's within me, but thank God there is a holy reverence in all of God, and I try to be careful. You know, some folks, they like to take the Bible, you know, head down. Neighbor, you need to be careful with this. This is something that's precious. This is something that's great right here, and we need to realize it. Don't get frustrated. Believe in God. I don't care what it is. Quote the scriptures. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Believe in him, not yourself. Don't look at your circumstances. Thank God for mercy. God promised, amen, the man of God in the Bible. He said, I'm going to tell you, 1,000 going to fall at your right hand, and then 1,000 going to fall at your side. David said, the Spirit of God come upon me. He said, I ran through a troop, and then I leaped over a wall. Amen. I'm telling you, you can do great things when God's helping you. But if you get to listen and follow on that other thing, you're going to have insecurity in yourself. My dad used to go down Dress Plaza. Did I ever take you that when you went to Evansville, Indiana with me, that Ohio River down there? Go down there, they had a place where they took the boats out, big place. It's also a place where they fished. I mean, they fished up in the late in the night. Big old tall 8-foot poles or so, rod and reels and nice ones. And I remember I felt secure because my daddy was there. Just one man, that's all it was, and me. And I was probably 5, 6, 7 years old, but just something about my daddy being there. My daddy being there, I didn't feel insecure. I just felt like my daddy could do about anything. Huh? Yeah, I felt like my daddy could do about anything. But I know one time, years later, I went down there one time, and my daddy wasn't with me, and it's kind of scary. That's a rough place. Gangs hang out in there, different stuff. They drink, and all they're drinking out there. That night, my daddy went out there, but it didn't bother me long. My daddy was there. And I'm going to tell you, you got a Heavenly Father that loves you and cares for you, that he's interested in you. Let's see if there's anything else before I close out, because there's several things that's coming to me. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That word careful, be careful, nuns be, means not to be anxious. And that word is lines up to anxiety. It means uneasiness of mind over a fearful concern or interest worried. You know, Bible said God commanded us not to do that, to be careful about nothing. But he said, but in, what was it, prayer, supplication, giving thanks, make your request known to God. Philippians 4 and 6. So God's commanded us not to worry. You can't do nothing about it. What's worry going to do for you? It does different things to you. It worries you. It worries your mind. It works on your heart. It does a lot of different things. And I know life is full of worry. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to tell you, there's a way to touch God. There's a way to get things fixed. There's a way for God to work things out that needs to be worked out in our hearts and lives. And he says in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, he said, when you pray, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For if we pray and we don't believe him right, the Bible said we're like a sea of the wave, tossed to and fro. The Bible said, let not that man, that person, think he shall receive anything, Lord. If we're up and down, our faith and our believing, and we don't continue holding faith, neighbor, I'm here to tell you, we'll not receive anything of the Lord. That's why she's doing as well as she is. I don't think she's just because she's a Brantley, but the Brantley family are pretty tough folks. And it may not just because it's Trutland County, but Trutland County people's pretty tough. You know, some people say it's the water you drink, you know, all kinds of things. But the reason why, I mean, she's learned who God is. And Brother Doug learned who God is. I remember when Brother Sapp David, I'm fixing to close, when he was in the hospital, Brother Sapp David, some of you knew him, great man of God, around Commerce, Georgia, lived in that little town called Nicholson. I was at the hospital with him, and Brother Roger Korn and his wife had just fixing to leave. Me and my wife was there. And I remember Brother Sapp David was on there, and Brother Sapp said, I'm gonna believe like what Isaiah said. You know, that by his stripes I'm healed. He was losing his ability to walk. Something had come upon him. I don't know what it was, but doctor said, Mr. David, it may get worse before it gets better. And it may not get better. And his wife was in the back, and she spoke up. She said, yeah, said, look like I'm going to have to take care of him the rest of his life. And Brother Sapp said again, I'm going to believe what Isaiah said. By his stripes, I mean, she come back and he come back on her on that. And you know what? He had problem walking. He sure did. But thank God it didn't last long. I was his pastor. It wasn't long till that brother was getting in. He was walking again and things were working out for him. He said, I'm going to believe what Isaiah said. Just because things don't change when we think it needs to change, just because, amen, things don't do like we think it ought to do, that don't mean God's not there working things out. Just because you got to make a meatloaf and what ladies, hour and a half, whatever, and you go get some kind of other kind of meat like Salisbury steak, put it in there, for 40 minutes, whatever, in the microwave, give or take, 45, 30. Well, is it? I can tell you how to cut a rafter. Huh? I could tell you how to lay a block out for a house. But I don't know about that other stuff. But we're so used to stuff being so fast. Come, Pat. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad for Jesus. That's what come to me the early this morning, that word, paradox. Doc. It's an X, but actually pronounced as a K on the end of that, paradox. And I looked it up, wondering what it was. And different times, God deals with me about my life. And when I get messages, I like to look at Steve. I like to see where I'm at, what I'm doing. How's it coming along for me? Brother Doug said, time's going. It'll be winter before we know it. Time's going, Brother Claxton. Time's going fast for us. It's just a matter of time. I upped my life insurance policy to another $70,000. Pat said, I don't want you to die. I want to keep you. I said, Pat, you don't ever know. But I said, if something happens to me, I said, you'll be taken care of for a while, Lord's willing. And I said, I said, I've been feeling death for several days now. I had that death feeling. And I remember one time I had a young man in the church that I preached that Sunday morning. And he went swimming that following week on Wednesday when we had church. Was it we had church on Wednesday night, right around? And they let the dam loose farther up. When it does, that cold water hits that warm water, you know, cool. He got leg cramps and he drowned. And I preached to him that Sunday. I told Patty, I said, for several days I've been feeling death. She said, I don't want something to happen to you. I said, I don't know that it is me. But I said, but it could be. I never know. But it's just been on me so strong about death. Death. You just feel that feeling. That's not a good feeling. So I haven't put my finger on it yet. Know exactly what's going on. My son got in a business one time, and I went and got my warm air license, state of Georgia, do heat and air like Brother Doug does. And I let Stevie, my son, use my license. He done a job for an office where it had put four different units in. And it was kind of a complicated job, but he done a fine job on it. And when he come to get paid, the man paid him. Well, the check bounced. And I forget how many thousands of dollars it was, but it was up there a little bit. And so there was Stevie holding that with no money. And he had to pay for that equipment plus his help. Well, while Stevie was going through that, trying to overcome that, I don't know if he ever got all of his money. But there was a certain person went up to his pastor and said, you know what, Stevie's bounced a check and had to go to jail. It was that other man that gave the check that bounced. And his pastor was trying to doubt him. I've always taught my son that the Bible said, he that rebuketh a man will find more favor afterwards than he that flattered with his lips. So Stevie stood up to his pastor in a nice, firm way. He said, them charges are not true. Bring them to me with you there. And let them tell me to my face that I'm guilty. And all I got to do is show you the court papers what happened. He come back in later. He said, Stevie, it's all worked out. He said, where's the person that accused me? Oh, they don't want to face you. Let's live in a way. No matter how discouraging it gets, what comes our way. There's a lot of times I come to this church that you don't. Me and Brother Gary was talking yesterday, and I broke down crying before him, talked to him about some needs. And a lot of times I come in here, and I don't feel like holding my head up. I don't feel like, you know, smiling. I don't feel like encouraging you when I'm facing. But if I'm going to be a preacher and a leader, then I've got to teach you you can have joy in the battle of the heat. You can overcome no matter what comes your way. I found that to be true. Thank you, good Lord. That song that you sing, appreciate coming. Appreciate our friends coming in from Tennessee. Good to have you, amigo. Tell him we're very glad that him and his wife are with us. He understands. This message come to me, and several things come to me this morning. I tried to go to sleep. I thought maybe God would deal with me later, you know, where I could sleep. You know, I was tired. But I could go back. It just stayed with me. All right, listen to the words of this song.
Thank God for Jesus.
Troubles and trials, more than enough. Sometimes my way gets rugged and rough.
Is that the truth?
He has promised he'll go with me all the way. Though the valley gets dark and dreary, I know my Jesus always near.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make it all the way home someday.
Make your boast in Him.
I'm gonna make it. All the way, I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. Christ my Savior goes before me, I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. When at Jordan at last I stand,
oh, yes.
He's gonna take me by my
hand.
I'm gonna make it with His help. One of these
You're
days,
more than conquerors, the Bible
when
says.
I cross the swelling.
Woo!
I'll be
thank
safe
you,
on
Jesus.
The other side. I'm gonna make it all the
Why don't
way
you tell
home.
Yourself, by the grace of God, I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it all the way. I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. Christ my Savior,
oh, yes.
Goes before me. I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. Soul is free. I live with Christ.
Praise
for
God.
I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. Troubles and trials, more than enough. Sometimes my way gets
sometimes
rugged
gets a little rough,
Jesus
don't it?
Jesus promised He'll go
with
me
all
the
way. Hallelujah.
Oh, the valley gets dark and drear.
Thank
I know
God.
My Jesus always near. I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. I'm gonna make it.
This altar's open if anybody wants to pray.
I'm gonna
make it
all the way
home someday.
Christ my Savior.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
Goes before me. I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. When at Jordan at last I stand, He's gonna take me by my hand.
Well,
I'm gonna make it
you,
with
Jesus.
His help one of these days.
Hallelujah.
Though I cross the swelling tide, I'll be safe on the other side.
Amen.
I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. I'm gonna make
it all
the way. I'm gonna make it all the way home someday. Christ my Savior.
Hallelujah.
Goes before me. I'm gonna make it all the way
home
someday. Some happy day.
From sin.
My soul is free. I'll live with Christ.
Yes,
for me. I'm
God
gonna make
Jesus.
It all the way home.
Hallelujah.
Someday.
Yes, amen.
Some happy
Are you determined to go?
From sin.
It's your mind made up.
My soul is
Hallelujah.
Free.
Oh yeah.
With Christ for
Thank you, Jesus.
Me. I'm gonna make it all the way home someday.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'd like to say
hallelujah.
I appreciate the Lord today. Glad for His goodness and mercy.
Thank
you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sanctify me and fill me with the Holy Ghost. I thought if He called on me to sing this morning before He preached, I was going to sing this song. And then he asked me to sing it at the altar service. But I'm thankful for the goodness and mercy of God. I thank the Lord for healing my body. I thought I've had a need in my body. And this week, God has come by and He's healed me. And every bit of it's gone. And I want to thank the Lord. I'm glad He's still a prayer answering God. I'm glad He's a miracle worker.
I'm
serving a God that's not dead. He's not gone on a journey. His ear is not heavy and His arm is not short. And I want to thank Him for all He's done for me. He's given many blessings and I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I desire your prayers.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Whatever you use to play in, it'd be fine. That's a fine young lady right there. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet
Aren't you glad he don't ever get tired of you? Aren't you glad when things come your way, he knows how to pick you up? Oh, ain't God good to you? He's got a hedge about you that the devil can only come in a little bit, only by permission from God. God's good to you. God loves you. Get your head up and praise Him. Magnify that wonderful name of Jesus. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But early this morning, a message was forming in my heart, my spirit, my mind. And God gave me these scriptures. He gave me this word, this paradox. I had no idea what it meant until I looked it up. You know, God brings you to church for the purpose of trying to help you. Oh, won't you let Him minister to you? He's a great God. Brother, you don't know my problems. God does. You don't know how it was. You mean you ain't had problems before and God hadn't worked them out before? You mean things ain't been your way, come your way before? Did God ever fail you? Did God ever let you down? Won't you let God help you again? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, reach out to Him. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. If anyone sees or feels the need to pray, this altar's open. I'm glad for desire to pray. Glad for desire to call on His name. Don't look at your need, look at God. Don't look at your problems, look at the problem solver. Don't look at your weakness, but look at the strength that comes from God. Don't look at how can I, how will it, but God can. You said, preacher, I'm discouraged today. I've had some events happen. I had my heart in it. I really tried to do what's right. And I don't know why things is going like it is. Maybe God's trying to prove to the devil that you are somebody. Maybe God's trying to prove the devil that child of mine is going to stand, Satan. They may be going through the battle, but thank God they're going to stand for me. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of God. Y'all know me that I don't prolong stuff very long unless God's in it. Somehow I just feel a drawing today. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Bible says if you feel after Him, you'd find Him. Maybe it's been a while since you felt Him. Feel after Him. Make contact with Him today. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. It's praise God. It's praise God. Praise God. Oh, one more time. Well, it's amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved. That's where I was at. That's where I was at. Me, I once was lost. Oh, but now I'm found, was blind. Now, let me tell you this before we prayed. I was going through a trial years ago as a newborn Christian. I had married my wife, Patty. We got married. Her daddy was the pastor. We was married maybe, I don't know if it was even a year. And I worked at Whirlpool Corporation on assembly line where they made refrigerators, and we put them together. And I had my components to put in, next person. The cussing was so bad that when I went home to pray, them cuss words would be in my mind. Then later, oppression set in me. Went to visit my father-in-law, and he was building a carport for his car, and he was singing so happy, and I thought, how can he be happy? One night during a service, we was in church. My father-in-law got up, and I like to tell you, he never did miss it, did he, Pat? I've never seen him miss it the first time, never. He said, tonight God's wanting to deliver somebody. You're going through something that you need God to help you with. I thought about that moment, walking out that door and just forgetting it. But I had a praying wife that was praying. And after it was said and done, I never made my move to that altar. I paid for that. I was going to be delivered that day. But I was so self-pity on myself that I wouldn't make a move. After it was said and done, my wife looked at me and said, Steve, I almost went up in your place for God to deliver you. I'm not missing it this morning. I'm not missing it this morning. I'm not missing it. Play a little bit. We're fixing to be dismissed. And you're going to go out that door, and you're going to pay for it. Just remember, I give you an opportunity.